house of God. I'm thankful for the travel mercies. I'm trying to think of the close calls I had with Rex, but I know I had one or two, but I can't remember them. But I'll tell you what happened Friday night. Mind you, I was driving. I didn't drive from up where I live, brother. I drove from Richlands down, which is really a couple hours less. But I had some letters I needed to mail. Now, mind you, there was post office. I probably drove by quite a few post offices, didn't I? Well, of course, I had to go off the beaten path to do it most of the time. I probably drove by some once I got into, you know, towards like Haines City and then without having to go in off too far off. But I'll tell you what happened. You know, like I said, I don't like going off the beaten path, so to speak. I mean, get off the, you know, road I'm on, like when I'm on interstate, because, you know, that burns gas. And I like saving money. So anyway, on my way, I don't know the name of the place, but it's between here and Lake Placid. It's a post office on the way from Lake Placid. It was on the right. It's just a little country one. You know what it is? I can't think of the name of it. I didn't pay attention. Maybe it's a good thing, because I would call the police if I had. I thought, well, it's late, but I'll go ahead and pull in here, just because I knew they had that. I've been a little too from there before. So I was going to mail letters there. When I pulled into the post office, there was a man on the four-wheeler. I noticed a light behind me. He rode up behind me, and he was pulling up towards my side. Now, what would y'all do one in the morning if somebody rides up to you that close on a four-wheeler? What did you think is going on? You don't know, would you? It could be an emergency, but, you know, I have a feeling he wouldn't have pulled behind me that way. I don't know. I don't know what it was. What had you all done? That's probably about, that'd probably be a wise move, but you know what I did? I said, I ain't mailed a letter here. Zoom! I got out of there as fast as I could. Because I knew, unfortunately, the man didn't follow me, thank the Lord. Because if he did, I had to call 911 real fast. But he didn't, so I decided not to. But I thank the Lord nothing happened. I thank the Lord I'm not shook up anymore. You know, the first hour or two after that, you're kind of nervous. But I got here, got the LaBelle. By the way, I mailed my letters yesterday from the LaBelle post office. I should have stopped in Richlands and done it. They're not Richlands. There's another place near there. Cedar Bluff, that's it. But I didn't. Well, anyway, I used to worry about what I should have done or what I shouldn't have done that way. I'm here. Amen. The Lord gave me travel mercies. I'm thankful for what the Lord has done. I tell you, I appreciate the Lord. You know, right now, just pray for me. I'm trying to think of who to call next and where else to go. I'm going to try working on my schedule now, because it's just been, we go can't meet to can't meet. You virtually have to wait till you got to call 2 or 3 weeks ahead, or you wait till you get there and hope you get some places, which is the way it's been. But now I'm going to plan on going up north sometime, Florida. Then I hope to go on to Alabama and maybe Mississippi. But my goal before the end of this trip is to go back to Kentucky and maybe Oklahoma. But I'm praying. The Lord through a guide, doesn't He?
Come on.
Can I tell you, you probably heard me tell this before. I one time was out in Oklahoma. I was waiting for this one man to call me. I kept waiting. Kept waiting. He told me, he called me. He is a good man. I believe he would. But I just kept waiting. Finally, one night I went to Claremore. I won't go into detail what happened there that night. But on the way back to Queen, I said, I'm going to stop at the Claremore Whataburger. As I start to pull into that driveway, God said, go to the one
What's the big issue about what Whataburger do I need at? You know, most of the time when I'm going out to eat, I think I look at two things. Well, I really like to eat and how much money I have to pay for it, right? I'll worry whether the Lord's, you know, maybe I should ask the Lord, do you want me to eat at McDonald's today or Burger King? Maybe I should, but I don't. I'd say 99% of us don't, right? You know what the Lord did? He told me to give him the one broken arrow, and then he added one more thing. That brother would be there. I drove there, and I wrestled with the Lord from there to the Whataburger and Broken Arrow. Guess who was in the parking lot? Oh, 2 weeks later, I preached for the brother. So, you know, sometimes God's moves and speaking is sometimes that drastic. I mean, man, I've had other times the Lord has dealt with me to go places. This past, a few weeks ago in Oklahoma, I wasn't scheduled to preach anywhere. I prayed. I was thinking about going between, it was between Brother Bill Park's church. Maybe I shouldn't tell you, you know, I'll go ahead. I was thinking about going and visiting this BMO Indian Baptist church. They said, if I went, I've been preaching that afternoon. That's what I was told. But it wasn't anything concrete yet. So I prayed. Didn't feel particularly should go either way place. Went to sleep. When I woke up, the Lord said, go to Miracle of Faith in Broken Arrow. Wow. I went, when I got there, Brother Randy Perry asked me if I sing. I said, sure do. He said, well, be prepared to sing and preach this morning. I don't plan to sing this morning, maybe tonight. But you know, I'm thankful for how the Lord guides. Amen. Amen. One more thing. I've enjoyed the lesson, and I just want to throw this out that I'll get right in my message. You know, you mentioned dating anger is just one letter shy of danger. You've already said something I've already thought of. When I worked at the Weston Company on one of the machines I used to run, the Summit, they had a sign that said danger, but somebody marked the D out. It said anger. I said, yep, that's the truth. Danger. Amen. Thank you all for the offering. I appreciate this. May the Lord bless you 100,000-fold. I appreciate this opportunity. Appreciate Brother Howe for asking me to preach. And I appreciate Brother Roadcap for being here this morning. Some of the things he's done to help me since I've got here. I was wrestling with what message to preach, and tonight, I just want to suggest something. Let's invite some lost souls out. I was going to preach a different message, but I decided to preach this instead. James chapter 5, verse 19. James chapter 5, verse 19. You know, I believe. You know, there's a lot of backsliders, isn't there? I don't know exact title, what I should call this, what to do, reach backsliders, which I don't know if I'm really going to call that, but helping the backslider, that would be a better term. How about? Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. I'm going to reread it again. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a multitude from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Father, for this morning. I thank you, Father, for this time I could preach this message. Lord, I ask you, anoint my lips of clay, anoint our ears to hear. Help us, each and every one of us, reach out to the backsliders. In Jesus' name, amen. Help to reach the backslider. This may be an unusual opening incident, but here it goes. Years ago, I used to work at McDonald's. Would you believe that? And I'm not talking when I was a young teenager. I'm talking when I was in my 30s. Because I got laid off one job, and that was the best thing I could find at the time. But anyway, I worked at McDonald's for a little over a year, and I know the Lord was starting to deal with me. And finally, you know, when the Lord deals with you and you don't pay attention, sometimes He'll send something your way to get you to move, won't He? He sent a manager who I had troubles with. I'll leave that alone. And I'll just say he was trying to get me to work on Sunday. Mind you, I was even pastoring then. I won't do it even as an evangelist, but as a pastor, that's even worse, isn't it? So anyway, I kept wrestling. Finally, God blessed me with a better paying job. The one where I saw that danger anger sign at Weston Company. It was there for over 15 and a half years. But anyway, even though I had some troubles there, I still eat there. In fact, the manager, without going details, was moved. And anyway, one Friday morning on the way to work, I stopped at McDonald's there where I used to work. It was right on the way to work, so I said, I'll stop there. As I went in, I noticed it looked like something had happened the night earlier. In fact, I may not be able to get in for a few minutes. I don't remember all those details, but something clearly had happened that night. There were some men there. They were all in their ties, and they were, you know, men who were kind of uppity-up in the McDonald's chain, and they were there, and it turned out later on, I found out what it was all about. You know, it wasn't just me that left that store. There were several that quit during that season. I mean, it got to a place where there were just several going in and leaving, and it was just getting out of control. So you know what these men did? They were there having an all-night talk about the people who were leaving there. They were trying to think of things they need to do to get to keep the employees there. I know a couple things. They had that discussion. I don't know what they said. Some of them weren't even English-speaking people, so we would not comprende them. Amen. And then, on top of that, I noticed, boy, that store looked a lot cleaner inside. They spent a lot of time cleaning around the store, making it look spotless. It's the cleanest I think I ever seen it. And then on top of that, you know, like I said, they spent the whole night talking about it. Well, the first thing I want to point out, and this is something we need to do in order to help the backslider get back, we need to have a concern. You know why these people were there all night? They were concerned about people leaving that job. How many of us are concerned about the ones who are leaving our churches? I tell you tonight, we need, pardon me for saying tonight because I'm used to preaching at night, but this morning, we need to be concerned about those who've left our churches. I tell you tonight, this morning, I've seen way too many. You know, I'm getting to the point when I go to certain areas, the last thing I want to do is ask how so-and-so is. Now, wait a minute, brother. Shouldn't you be concerned about? Yes, that's not the issue. But it's like this. Let me just bring it down to another situation. It seems like when I go to the Amosville camp meeting, I didn't get there this year. That's the one I normally go to because that's the ministerial association I'm with. But yeah, normally, you know, when I go there, there's been on a couple occasions, probably even more. I'd go there, I'd see a lady there. First time, maybe in a year or two. I'd walk up and I'd say, hello, how are you doing? They'd say, fine. And then I'd notice something. They were without their husband. First thing you want to think of, well, maybe the husband had to work late that night, couldn't make it. Well, on at least two occasions I asked and wished I hadn't.
one lady was separate from her husband because he left her after beating her for a long time. Then a few years later, I saw this lady. Her husband was a man I went to Bible school with. Like I say, they came back to the area. I thought, well, maybe he's just working late. Turned out they were separated. I'm telling you tonight, whenever I can, when I said that, saw that, I got to where whenever I went to the Amosville camp meeting, I saw even some men without their wives or a woman without a husband. I hesitate to ask how your husband's doing or how your wife's doing for knowing that I might hear a bad report. I'm not concerned. But sometimes I don't like hearing bad reports. I tell you, so that's why sometimes I'm hesitant to ask, because there's so many people in our ranks. Some churches I've been to, I'll ask the pastor, I know so-and-so wasn't here, and they have to shake their head and say, brother, all you do is just pray for them. Tonight, we need to have a concern for those who are leaving our ranks. I can get up here and tell reasons why some have left. A lot of them have left because of worldly allurements. Let's face it now. We're in a world now which has more allurements than ever. I'll tell you what, years ago, we used to preach hard against the television. Come on! Now people can watch worse things on their cell phone. Now, I'm not preaching against cell phones. I've got myself. But I'll tell you what's happening. People now got more things. They could just go to their cell phone and watch things that we would never even, which we couldn't have watched on the television. Come on. I tell you, not this morning. There's worldly allurements out there. I believe the devil's putting more pressure on the church now. Why? Because I know he believes the time is short. And he's trying to cause as many to leave the house of God as he possibly can. So there's more allurements than there ever was. You know, there's some people sometimes when they go to work, they have to watch what they say about the Lord. But boy, some sinners can get up and be so gross and described in sin, it's not funny. I'll tell you what, I have problems with that. Come on. Come on. Come on. Sometimes we're in a world now where there's a lot more pressures. Worldly allurements. Sometimes somebody will get offended in the house of God. You know what's sad? I heard a story over in Kentucky not long ago. That's what happened in Kentucky. So there you have it. I don't even know what state happened in. But the preacher got up and told the story about a man. He was offended by a brother in another church, and as a result, for 30 or 35 years, he would not fellowship that church. Now, he didn't totally leave the house of God altogether. He didn't get, he went to church. In fact, I think they were both ministers. But that man would not fellowship this brother for over 30 years because of the fence. Finally, somebody went to the man that was offended. I mean, went to the one that caused the offense and discussed it with him. You know what? Brother who had done the offense did not even remember ever saying or doing that. It's not, I'm not denying it didn't happen. I'm just saying it was over 30 years and he probably did not even remember it. You know what they did? They finally got it back. They got together and talked. The brother who done the offense apologized and they started fellowshipping. But you know what's sad? For over 30 years, fellowship was broken over one thing that one guy didn't even remember happening. In fact, one more thing. If the guy did say what he allegedly said, he didn't even mean it the way it was said. How many times does the devil take something somebody says or does, and they may not have meant it? And he has a way of magnifying it. He's mad at you.
He don't like you. All it is just the man said something, maybe in a moment of weakness or maybe just clowning around. I've done that. Boy, I've learned to be careful clowning around sometimes. And don't get me wrong. I like to clown around at times, but I'm watching it because I don't want to cause any unnecessary offense. And I could go on to other reasons why sometimes people don't like what's being preached and they think, I'll find a church that ain't as strict. They go to it. Sometimes find the same problems there that they did at the Holiness Church. But regardless, we need a concern, don't we? What does the Bible say we should do? It says, brethren, if any be overtaken in fault, ye which are spiritually mature, I should say, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Consider thyself also, lest thou also be tempted. You know, we need to restore such the ones in the spirit of meekness. And to consider ourselves. There's a twofold interpretation to consider ourselves, lest thou also be tempted. Number one, don't ever think you're above falling. Don't ever think you're better than that brother who's fallen. We should never think that. Amen? Because I've seen men who I actually thought were better people than me fall. Come on! I've seen people I thought really loved the Lord more than I do fall. Maybe they did, but I've seen things happen in serving the Lord for he'll soon be 40 years that shocked me. I thought my shocker days was over, but they ain't. Because I'll tell you what, I still hear stories that shock me and revolt me at times. People fall, people I never dreamed would. But tonight, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Consider thyself also. Never think you're above falling. Never think you're better than them. We could all fall too. Secondly, when we do go restore, be careful. Be careful. That's why I believe when possible, a man should restore a brother. When possible, a lady should restore another lady. I know sometimes you run into people in the stores and you might talk to them of the opposite sex. I don't have any problem there. But to go in their home, I believe it should be the man, the woman, amen. On the other hand, if you run into a lady in the store, I can sometimes agree, because one time I did talk to a couple backslidden ladies at a store somewhere in this country who knew me quite well. Let me tell you what happened. I never heard more venom come out of two ladies' mouths in my life. One of them I had never heard say a cuss word in my life. And the whole time I knew her, I heard her cussing. I can tell you something else that happened. I left that day with that Walmart where I saw them. That night when I went to sleep, guess what? I had a nightmare of that whole situation again. A bit deeper appreciation for that verse. Consider thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Because I never had more venom poured upon me attacking this certain preacher, a good holiness brother somewhere in this great country. I should have told him, listen, I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to hear about it. By the way, I still think just as good as that brother now as I did before that happened. Because I believe a lot of their bitterness was twisted. Amen. But tonight, we need to restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Amen. We need a concern. Number two, we need a clean up. What do you mean, Brother Roy? They went through that store and cleaned it up. I don't know if that was going to make it a better place to work. Because you know what, part of my job was cleaning around the store. I had one side of the law. I was a lobby worker. I had one side, some people on the other. And part of my job was to clean daily, clean up messes. And I'll tell you something. I had to clean up several messes. Thank the Lord. But I'll tell you what, this morning, we need to clean up. Get the backsliders back what I mean. We need to clean up. You know, this morning, I believe. believe there's been a lot of people who are offended. Not because somebody misunderstood. They misunderstood. There's times it is. Not because they thought the preacher was preaching too hard. Amen. But because they saw some inconsistencies in the lives of certain people. I'll tell you this morning, that's no excuse. Come on. It's no excuse to backslide because brother so-and-so said something which they shouldn't have said, or maybe they did something they shouldn't have done. I tell you this morning, as I've often said, hypocrisy is a poor excuse to go to hell over. I tell you this morning, I've seen people either leave the house of God or wouldn't get saved because of a hypocrite. Sometimes it's their genuine hypocrites. People who were not doing right. Sometimes it was the alleged ones. What do you mean? I still haven't forgotten years ago this man wasn't getting saved, all because a certain person would not hire him. You know what? That same brother didn't hire me. I ain't going around accusing him of being a hypocrite. In fact, if I was going to accuse him of being a hypocrite, it wouldn't be because he didn't hire me at a job. Come on. Come on. You know what? He has to run his business. He has to see who's the most qualified. He needs to check the characters of the different people. And he needs to see if he has enough money. He doesn't want to jack his prices so high to pay for every person who's ever asked him for a job, does he? Come on. I'm not here saying right or wrong whether he should have helped or hired him. I'll tell you one thing. If he got back to me, he called me a hypocrite. I promise you, I sure would not have hired him. Ever. But anyway, in regards to whether real or otherwise, this morning, sometimes we're going to have to clean up. We're going to have to get bitterness out of our lives. Talk about anger earlier. Oh, it's a shame when we get angry in front of sinners. I have to watch myself sometimes when I'm out in the world. Because, you know, sometimes people are not always going to cooperate, are they? How many times have you gone through a McDonald's and there you are waiting in line and nobody's at the cash register? And here you are, you're waiting and waiting. And waiting, I'll never forget the one in Stephen City one night. I just stood there and said, I'm not going to get mad. I'm going to pray. I stood right there praying that God would send the person to wait on me. If I came, how many times does that happen? I know sometimes they are busy, and I can understand that part. I'll never forget one time in Maryland. This was getting me a little angry. Here there was a bunch of people standing around talking amongst themselves, and here I'm waiting in line and waiting in line. Also, there was a leak somewhere, a bunch of water on the floor, and nobody was grabbing a mop. I've been tempted to grab a mop while doing it, but I know I wouldn't have been allowed to. I just those two or three things was going on, but yet they were there talking amongst themselves, and there you are. When are they coming to get me? Coming to wait on me, and then I've had to wait the longest time for my meal. I'll tell you what, I can deal with waiting. I just don't like it when they're busy. When they're busy running their mouths, I have troubles. But can I tell you something? We still as Christians need to be salt and light. And we need to be careful not to lose our temper. Come on. Come on. Tonight, we need to watch how we conduct ourselves. We're the only Bible some may read. We're the sinner's creed. That's not exactly how it goes, but I know what I'm saying. So this morning, because of that, some of us have got some house cleaning to do. We need to get our tempers under the blood of Jesus Christ. If we got bitterness in our hearts towards somebody, you know, one thing I've learned about bitterness, it has a way of surfacing, doesn't it? You may not think you're mad at that brother, have hard feelings, until one day something's brought up. Boy, that's when you have to really hit the altar, isn't it? I can't help what the brother brought up. Something just happened recently. I had to really get a hold of God for that. Lord did help me. Can I tell you something? We need to get all bitterness out of our hearts. The Bible says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, kindly you be speaking, be put away from you of all malice. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake have forgiven you. We need to watch our spirits. We need to learn to forgive. And sometimes, yes, we have to, sometimes we may have to confront somebody. And sometimes we may have to leave a thing alone. But one thing we better not be doing, getting on our cell phones and cocktailing everybody and their brother, getting on our email accounts, and then sending emails about the brother. Amen. Amen. Come on. Going around talking to everybody you can. If you can't talk to them about it, then be quiet. But if you can't talk to them, it says right in Matthew chapter 18, 15 through 20 what to do. You go to them and them alone. If they don't hear you, bring two or three witnesses out of the mouth of two or three witnesses. Every word shall be established. If they don't hear you, them, then the Bible says, bring before a church, and they don't hear the church. Let me count as a heathen, a sinner, and a publican. I tell you this morning, we need to get bitterness out of our heart. We need to get envy out of our heart. You know what? It is probably the most destructive emotional sins. It and anger. But I understand from Proverbs, I think it's 27, verse 4. Really, envy is even worse than anger. Woo! Often anger can be something justifiable. What do you mean? Somebody really may have done something. Come on. Envy is a lot worse in this sense. You're just upset because somebody got a blessing you didn't get. That should never happen. You know what I found out about envy? In spite of it being so destructive, it's not hard to deal with. What do you mean, Brother Roy? I've had to deal with envy. You know what's helped me? It's found in the Scriptures. Rejoice with them that rejoice, and weep with them that weep. When you can get to that point, envy will relieve you. I am not joking. It has helped me in my 40 plus years, my nearly 40 years of serving the Lord. Because when I can learn to rejoice when a brother's blessed, God had in a way, it seems like envy can't stay with me. When I weep with that brother who's down and out, envy has no part in my life. Learn to weep with them that weep and rejoice with them that rejoice. Amen. We need to get our inward part of our lives cleaned up. Not only that, but we need the outward cleaned up too. I'm a believer in old-time holiness. I believe the Bible says it's an abomination for a woman to wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do such are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. Deuteronomy 22:5. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14, 15 says, doth not nature itself teach you, if a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him. But if a woman have long hair, it's a glory unto her, for her hair is given unto her for a covering. Goes on up there, says, if a woman prays or prophesies with her hair uncovered, she dishonors her head. I believe tonight a woman is to have long in the sense of uncut hair, and a man to keep a decent haircut, thinking of which I probably need to get to a barber next day or two. But that's aside the point. This morning, I believe we need to get both the inward and the outward. Yes, I know people have had the outward right and the inward wrong. Let's face reality. You've got the Amish people. You know, as of old, they're not even saved. But they have a higher standards than we do. I'm sorry. I believe in high standards. I believe we need to keep them high. Now, I'm not a fanatic that goes as far as, you know, getting up and denouncing women wearing open-toed shoes and stuff like that. I'm not one of those.
And believe it or not, maybe I shouldn't say this here, I do wear a necktie sometimes. Hope nobody falls out with me. But you know what I'm saying this morning? I'm not going to get up. There's some things I don't preach on, but I'll tell you what I do. I believe when I go to different churches, if there are no tie church, I don't wear a tie there. Because I'll tell you what, you don't want to cause an unnecessary offense. But then I'm going to say this morning. I believe the outwards just is important, for it should often reflect what's on the inside. When I see a woman dressed in modest, I just wonder what's going on in her heart. When I see a man running around without shirt on, I wonder what's going on in their heart. I'll tell you this morning, the inward, what they see outward should reflect what's on the inside. Come on. I believe if you've really got the heart right, you want to get the outward right. Come on. So this morning, we need a concern. And we need a cleansing. We need to cleanse out our closets. If we have things, books and stuff that are displeasing to God, you know what we need to do? Acts 19:18-20. Have ourselves a bonfire. Come on. You say, oh, Brother Roy, you don't know how much I spent on those records. That's obsolete, but some people do collect them. You know how much I spent on those CDs and tapes. I know tapes are obsolete too, but I've got plenty of them. I had to leave a lot of them behind when I moved this last time. I'll tell you what, sometimes we've got to get rid of some things. Say, oh, Brother Roy, can I sell them and send them to church? I think the best route is to destroy them. Because, see, it didn't matter. But Acts 19 did it. Let's just read what it said. Acts 19. I'll find it. I wasn't even planning on preaching this message this morning. 18-20. And many that believed and confessed and showed their deeds, and many of them which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men and counted the price of them and found that 50,000 pieces of silver. And so mightily grew the word of God prevailed. You know what? It was worth 50,000 pieces of silver, all the books and stuff they had destroyed. Sometimes we may be destroying stuff worth more than that. But can I tell you something this morning? When you destroy an evil book, let's say you got the Da Vinci Code. You destroy it, you stop it from going any further. If you've got a book with an occult book, you destroy it, it's not going any further. You get some ungodly CDs made when you, before you got saved, you listened to a lot of things and you just never destroyed them yet. You destroy them, that ungodly music ain't going any further. You stopped it dead in its tracks. This morning, we need a cleansing. One more thing under the cleansing. Do we want revival? If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. You know what I believe revival often starts? When we start getting rid of stuff we don't need. When I got saved, I destroyed a bunch of rock records. When I got saved, I threw out some books I didn't need. There's been times, you know, I buy a book and I thought, well, it's a Christian book. And then I'd read and say, no, it's not. I had to destroy it. I'll never forget the late A.T. Gillette tell about how he bought a book, Holiness, the True and the False, by H.A. Ironside. He found out it was the false. You know what he did? After he got that book and read it, he had himself a bonfire and got rid of that book. By the way, I've got some of his other books and I actually like them on Prophecy, H.A. Ironside. But I don't ever want to have his Holiness, the True and the False. But this morning, if we want revival, we're going to have to clean out. If we want the backsliders to come back, we need to clean house.
And one more thing. They had a concern. They had a cleaning. They were there all night. Now, I don't recommend that we have an all-night discussion about the backsliders. And I'm not telling us to have an all-night prayer meeting. That's between you, your pastor, and God Almighty. Amen. So, you know, if you feel led to have an all-night, stay up all night and pray for a lost soul, do it. Do it. I'll tell you something I heard years ago, and I've often thought, you know, we need to do this when we start praying. How many have ever prayed? You don't have to show your hand. If you want to show your hand, you can. I pray, God, deal with the sinner Eve. You have to take away their sleep. You know what I heard years ago we should do? Often when we pray that, we should say, Lord, while you're at, speak to me about some things. Maybe even the point where I'll have to lose sleep for the night. Because I'll tell you what, sometimes those times we spend praying for the lost, praying for the backslider, praying for the people in the church, praying for this situation and that, it seems like that's when we get something done. I'll tell you this morning, I think we need, and I'm not saying all night or just 1 hour a day. I'm believing that between you all and God. But let's pray for the backsliders. You know what I believe? We spent more time praying for them and less time talking about them. Talking on the phone, saying, call up, say, did you know brother so-and-so backslid? Do you know sister so-and-so backslid? By the way, you know what's really sad? There's a church somewhere, I'm not going to say where. I always liked what the pastor of that church said. They'd have business meetings every year. I think they even occasionally had a special business meeting when a problem rose up. But every year, I knew this church has a special business meeting. I'm not saying where. An annual business meeting. He said one of the biggest shames of the annual business meeting was before the sun came up the next morning. The sinners who were not even near the church that night, who were not at the church at all, knew more about what happened at that business meeting than the saints of God who were actually at the business meeting. I can sympathize with that. There's been times I've been in business meetings and things are going on so crazy I couldn't even follow it. And I wouldn't dare repeat some of the things I heard and some of the things I didn't remember. Can I tell you something? It's a shame when we go out and have to tell sinners about backsliding, brother. Or we may think, oh, we're doing the church a favor. No, you're not. I used to think that. That's why I'm dealing with it now. I think the best thing for us to do when somebody backslides, find ourselves an altar and talk to God about it. I believe we'd spend more time talking to God about it. I believe we'd see more of them coming back. I tell you, this was a struggle this morning. I was between two messages, and I think I preached the right one. I just wish it came across a little better. This morning, we need to help the backslider. We need to love the backslider. Next time you hear about a preacher fall or a saint, find yourself an altar and pray for them. Don't broadcast it. I heard a story not long ago, and I'm not saying where, about a preacher backsliding. Had to leave his church. Thank God I can tell you something. I can't tell you what's about. I like that. All of those that happened. Now you know what I need to do. When we pray this morning, I said, I don't even remember his name. I was just going to say, Lord, help that preacher get back with you. You know what we need to do? We need to, when we hear reports, pray for that person. And while we're at, before we pray for them, let's ask God to help us and remind the Lord that we're no better than them. And we're going to need just as much grace, if not more, to avoid that same pitfall that brother or sister fell in. Come on, never think you're above that possibility of falling. It seems like when you think that's when you're most likely to fall. The Bible says, take, man, think if he stand, take heed lest he fall. What did Peter say before he
denied the Lord and cussed that night. Told the Lord, I'm ready to go with you, even to prison and to death. But before that night, before the cop crew, the next morning, three times he denied. Twice before the next morning, Peter denied Jesus three times. That's it. I got it backwards a bit. Can I tell you this morning, we need to be out there helping the better side. We need that concern for the backsliders. We need to clean our house up spiritually so there'll be more prone to want to come back. And thirdly, we need to pray for them. No, I wasn't going to do a CC&C this morning. But we do need to pray. Yeah, I should have said, call on God. That's a good one. I normally don't do that anyway. But this morning, somebody on the piano likes us to come pray. I like us to seek God. If you can remember some backsliders, pray for them. As you pray this morning, ask God to lay some souls. They don't have to be backsliders. It could be people who've never been saved. But this morning as we pray, let's pray for some people we know who need salvation. I could have got this morning told you this verse is a clear-cut anti-eternal security verse. It is, couldn't I? It would have been okay, but that's not the message for this morning. To disprove eternal security. It's open and shut, don't you think, brother? They err from the truth. That shows that they were in the truth. It calls them a sinner. I could have spent a long time harping on it. But I was more concerned about us being concerned, including Chip. I'd be a deeper concern. Seems like more of my ministry is geared towards the backslider. I want to reach the lost. I don't want to distinguish them. They're both lost. I'm just distinguishing the lost from the backslider here because there's people who've never been saved. I'll go one step further this morning. I'd rather deal with those who've never been saved. And I've dealt with some hard sinners too. Don't get me wrong. The backsliders, as a rule, there's thank God for the good exceptions. They haven't been too hard. I'll tell you one more story and I'll close and I will name a name. David Moore. Son of the late L.D. Moore. I'm not going to give any details of the things he had done wrong. But Brother Moore, David Moore, back in the 80s, was a preacher of the gospel. He fell away. The good thing is when he fell, he left the ministry, for which I respect him for. And he went out and went deep sin. But for 30 years, he was away from God. This year at Falk, Arkansas, the Fairland Camp meeting, L.D. Moore, he's now in his 70s. Away from God for 30 years, came forward and got born again, got saved again, came back to the Lord. You know, they said just 3 or 4 days after he got saved, he was out working and was having chest pains. You know what he did? Mind you, he's in his 70s because he never took Social Security, because he took Social Security exemption. He never could get Social Security. So now here he is, a man in his 70s working. But he's not afraid of it. Amen. You know what he did? He was having chest pains. You know what he did? He done what the L.D. Moore would have done 30 plus years ago. He called on the Lord. He had the people he was working with help him pray. And guess what? God touched his physical heart as well as his spiritual heart. I tell you this morning, we need more stories like that. L.D. Moore coming back. We need to hear more about people who may have left this church come back.
But we're going to have a concern. We're going to have a cleansing. And we're going to have to pray. This morning, let's take time out and pray. Amen. Amen. Let's all come and pray. Because I think we all can pray. Hey, we all need a deeper concern. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you.